Well, it's that time again, 6460 at noon. Welcome in to everyone that is coming into this deliberate space of interruption. We are deliberately interrupting our day to meet with God and to meet with God's people. We started this journey of 6460 on January the 5th, and we actually are concluding on this Friday, March the 6th. Now, technically, today is day 59. Today is day 59. Technically, 6460 ends tomorrow, but we are going to take it on out to Friday. Amen. So 61 days is actually what we will be in this prayer initiative for 61 days. Today, we're going to push in, and we are going to deliberately, we are not letting off the gas, we are putting our foot on the gas, and we're going to talk about today discernment in a noisy age. Discernment in a noisy age. This is going to be not only our topic of discussion, but this is what we're going to pray into on today. We are absolutely living in an environment where information travels faster than verification. People do not only share facts, people share interpretations, they share their fears, they share their suspicions. I mean, we see it for those of us that frequent social media. We see it every day. And I want us to understand that this is really how human pattern works. People share interpretations because interpretation is what gives meaning. Raw facts can feel incomplete, meaning makes people feel oriented. It reduces uncertainty. It can create a sense of control. So when a person feels overwhelmed by complexity, interpretation becomes a shortcut that tells them, I understand what is happening. The reason why people share fears is because fear looks for agreement. Fear wants reinforcement. When fear is unprocessed, it often turns into urgency. And then urgency looks for community. So people share frightening narratives not only to inform others, but to relieve their own internal pressure. The mind says, if others see it too, then I'm not alone. And that can be understandable, but it can also be risky. And this becomes a problem because fear changes the way people think. Fear shortens our patience. It reduces curiosity. It pushes the mind towards certainty before evidence is actually gathered. Fear increases the desire for a single storyline that explains everything. And that storyline can become a substitute for discernment. I was just having a conversation maybe about an hour ago about things that are going on in Iran. And the person had their narrative and the agenda that they believed. And so a lot of times, this is what happens with people. They don't get the entire storyline. They just take their own perspective, their own worldview, and then they push that forward, right? And so what I want us to understand on today is whatever that storyline is, it can become a substitute for discernment. It can also become a substitute for prayer, because a person can start to treat information as safety. There's a scripture that gives us language for this, and it's Proverbs 18 and 13. That particular scripture warns us that answering before listening is folly. I think we had this scripture probably Monday or last week sometime. Fear makes people answer before listening. James 1 and 19 tells us what? To be quick to hear and slow to speak. Fear makes people quick to speak and slow to verify. There's another scripture in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 7 that says, God has not given us, you all know it, the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind or self-control. And fear removes our self-control first, and then it disguises that loss as vigilance. And this is so important for us because confusion is not a neutral thing. Confusion affects our judgment. It affects our prayer life. It affects relationships. It affects witness. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, that says God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And that does not mean everything will be simple, but it does mean that God's leadership, it's going to produce stability. That's how you can discern if it's God or not. There's not going to be any disorder. And so in recent years, many Christians have become very familiar with a category of conversation that combines theology and history and speculation and current events. We have been seeing a very high increase when it comes to, you know, sororities, fraternities, secret societies. There's been an increase in the conversation around them, Freemasonry, right? We've been seeing an increase in these discussions about claims about Lucifer, claims about the great architect, claims about initiation and oaths and occult influences. We've been hearing about that, right? Claims about AI accelerating systems, claims about whether leaders know what they are advancing. You know, all of these things have been brought to light. And some of these discussions include real spiritual issues. Scripture does teach that deception increases and that darkness tries to organize itself. If you look in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6 and verse 12, it tells us our struggle. And our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's really against these rulers and these authorities and these spiritual forces of evil. And that means spiritual evil is real. It also means we must not become careless in how we identify it. Other parts of these discussions are historical claims that require documentation. Other parts are interpretations that may be sincere, but they can still be incorrect. There's other parts are that may be speculation that are presented as certainty. And so when categories collapse, Christians can begin to sound like unreliable witnesses. And that damages credibility. It also damages people internally, because a mind trained on suspicion will struggle to love well. So our goal this afternoon is not to dismiss concerns that people have. It is not to validate every claim either. Our goal is to develop a biblical method for handling information. And that method must protect truth, it must protect peace, and it must protect integrity. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 gives us a very simple instruction, and it tells us we got to test everything and hold fast what is good. Testing requires patience. It requires restraint. It requires categories. And so holding fast is going to require conviction, and this is what we're practicing. So for those that may be writing and want to take these points so that you can pray this through, I want you to write for point number one today is build categories before you build conclusions. You're going to build categories before you build conclusions. Discernment begins by separating what we are actually dealing with, right? So we have scripture. Scripture is what God has spoken, okay? We're building categories before we build conclusions. Scripture is what God has spoken. Verified information is what can be shown to be true with reliable sources and firsthand evidence. Then you have interpretation. Interpretation is the meaning someone assigns to facts in scripture. And then the last thing is speculation. And that's what someone believes might be happening but cannot establish as true. So when these categories are mixed, People start treating speculation like it's doctrine. They start treating personal interpretation like it's revelation. They start speaking with certainty where God has not spoken with certainty. And Deuteronomy 29 and 29 teaches a very important boundary. Here it is. The secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to us. So a mature believer accepts that God reveals what we need for obedience. He does not satisfy every one of our curiosities. When we chase secrets at the center, we lose the revealed. So what do I want us to apply here for today? Excuse me. When you hear a claim, no matter what it is, I want you to pause and ask, is this scripture? Is this documented? Is this an inference? Is this a rumor? Right? You've got to pause and exercise this spiritual discipline, or you're going to be whisked away with every wind of doctrine. Okay? And so we want to build categories before we actually build a conclusion. It's going to keep safety around you. All right? You always want to look at scripture. Is this rooted in scripture? What does God say about this? You want to see if there is some verified, credible information around what you hear, around these claims that you're hearing. You want to see what the interpretation of what the person is saying is rooted in. Is it rooted in fear? Is it rooted in shame, right? We got to look at all of these components. Point number two, test claims with a biblical standard of evidence. Test claims with a biblical standard of evidence. A claim can really sound spiritual and it can still be false, okay? A claim can be very common, but it's still wrong. It can be delivered with confidence. And it can still lack proof. What does Scripture teach us? Again, 1 John 4 and 1, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. The Scripture teaches us to test. How many of us are testing information before we make a conclusion? Okay? We've got to test the spirits, and that includes testing what is motivating the message, not only the message itself, but what is motivating it. Is it control? Is it truth? Is it pride? Is it fear? Scripture also teaches us not to bear false witness, and that is not only a legal command, it's spiritual ethics. If you know me, you know I'm big on ethics. Exodus 20 and 16 is about integrity. If I repeat claims I cannot verify, I may unintentionally become a false witness. Before we send information out, do we verify it or we just read something and we just send it to people? Verify it. So when someone says, this organization worships Lucifer, or you must be invited, or they allow you to worship any god, and then they convert you. The response is not instant agreement or instant ridicule. The response is, let me examine these claims. Where is this evidence coming from? Is it a primary source? Is it a documented ritual? Is it region specific? You know how people, they're out here giving information about things, and because you don't know about it and you haven't verified it, you just take their word for it. Make sure you test every spirit. You know why? Because testing is slow. Sharing is very fast, but testing, you got to go. I was teaching on Sunday, and I was giving them a method to be able to map with. And that helps us take our time and do our research. When you test, that process is slow. And so as disciplined believers, we shouldn't share fast. We got to test first. Take it the slow way. Test the claims with a biblical standard of evidence. Point number three today. So point number one was we're building categories before we build conclusions. Number two, we're going to test the claims with a biblical standard of evidence. And then point number three is we're going to manage fear so fear does not manage us. All right? We're going to manage fear so that fear does not manage us. Fear is a very real emotion. Fear can also become a very controlling force. And so once fear controls the mind, then our discernment is going to become distorted. Fear makes people need certainty quickly. You know how you're anxious. I need to find out the answer now. And that quick certainty often comes in the form of a total storyline. Total storylines simplify the world, but they often produce suspicion and arrogance and a constant readiness to accuse. So Scripture's answer to fear is not denial. No, Scripture's answer is, check this out, government. Philippians 4:6-7 tells us, do not be anxious. It tells us to pray, and the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds. That word guard is protective. It implies that there's some type of threat. It implies also order. So peace becomes a boundary. Okay? Us being here today at Noonday Prayer is a part of how we practice this. We are not only asking God for external outcomes, we are asking God to govern our inner processing. We need a regulated inner life, right? Because when we have a regulated inner life, it's hard to manipulate someone that has regulated inner life. So what I want you to see here today is before you interpret the world, regulate your own soul. Pray first. Breathe. Read Scripture. Then evaluate. Manage fear so fear does not manage you. And our last point today, well, I think I have a couple more. Number four. Actually, I'm going to stop right here. I want you to keep prophecy in its proper role. Keep prophecy in its proper role. Prophecy is a gift to the church. It is also a subject that can be mishandled. Jesus did not teach prophecy so the church could become obsessed with it. Jesus taught prophecy so the church could remain faithful under pressure. Watchfulness should not be a fixation. Readiness is not dread. Matthew 24 is filled with instructions. Jesus tells us what to expect, and he also tells us how to live, how to endure. He tells us, do not be deceived, stay awake, be faithful with assignments. If the fruit of prophetic study is instability, is constant fear, is withdrawal from responsibility and suspicion toward everyone, then prophecy has moved from being a lens to being a lifestyle. And I'm telling you, this is not spiritual maturity. It's imbalance. And so what we need to understand today is to study prophecy to strengthen your obedience, not to replace your obedience. We want to encourage you today to keep prayer, holiness, service, and love central. Keep it central. Today, we are bringing our attention to discernment in this very noisy age where you have people making all type of accusations and speculations. And when they do that, we're going to build categories before we build our conclusions. We are going to test every claim that comes across our desk, so to speak. We're going to test it with biblical standards of evidence, right? We're going to manage fear so that fear does not manage us. And we are going to keep prophecy in its proper role. Okay? First, We're going to practice discernment. We're not going to mix the scriptures, right? We're going to make sure we have evidence, the proper interpretation. We're going to refuse to allow fear to be our source of guidance. Bring fear to prayer, all right, before you bring it to conclusions. We're going to test everything and repeat. We don't want to become a pipeline for unverified claims. And we're going to keep prophecy in its role. We're going to watch, we're going to prepare, and we're going to stay faithful in daily obedience. Father, we submit our minds to you today, and we ask for discernment that is sober, that is rightly divided, that is accurate. Give us the ability to separate what you have revealed from what people are assuming. Give us patience to test. Give us restraint to remain silent when we do not know something. Give us courage to speak clearly when we do know something. Deliver us from careless speech today, God. Deliver us from being people that exaggerate or inflated claims. Deliver us from the need to sound certain in order to feel secure. We ask for minds that love truth. We ask for hearts that love your word. We ask for lives that produce credible fruit. In the name of Jesus, we renounce fear today as the governing spirit. We renounce dread and panic. We reject confusion and instability today. We reject the appetite for alarming narratives. We reject the habit of consuming information that trains anxiety. Guard our hearts, God, as we are out in this world today and information is coming in, Lord God, a million miles a minute. May our hearts be guarded and our minds be filled with your peace. God, I pray, God, that you will cause self-control to settle in us today. Establish patience in us today. Establish steadiness in us today. God, we pray that you would cleanse our mouths and purify our speech. Keep us from bearing false witness. Keep us from repeating what we have not tested. Keep us from spreading narratives that harm others and damage the credibility of the church. Teach us to speak what is true. Speak what builds. Speak what fits the moment. Speak to us, God. Teach us to be quiet when silence is wisdom. And Father, we pray, God, that you would make us ready, but we refuse to be obsessed. Teach us to watch without becoming distracted. Teach us to prepare without becoming extreme. Teach us to endure without bitterness. Strengthen our prayer lives. Strengthen us in holiness. Strengthen us in service and in love and in courage. It's in the name of Jesus we pray, and we thank you. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. We're going to open the line at this time today. If this really brought insight to you today, there's so many claims that are out here. So many, I mean, there's things coming at us left, right. We sometimes don't even know what to believe, what to hear, listen, everything is, these spiritual forces are coming at us. But now we have a framework to be able to pause and begin to test what's coming at us. I was having this conversation before I got out the prayer line, and I was asking that person to zoom out. Sometimes we're zoomed in too close. I said, zoom out so you can see what this really is. Let us take a moment before we make a conclusion on any claims that have been released out in the air. Let us zoom out first. Let us not feed into agendas that people are pushing. Let us get a kingdom perspective before we conclude on anything. We don't want to just believe anything and everything just because it sounds spiritual or sound good. We want to test every claim with a biblical standard of evidence. We want to build categories before we build conclusions. We've got to manage fear, so that fear does not manage us. And we've got to keep prophecy, which is a tool and a benefit to us, but we got to keep it in its proper role. It does not serve as God. It is God's tool that helps us as believers. If you're here today and you're able to speak and you want to come forth today, if this is something that helps you, if you have a testimony you want to share, even if there are the prophets or the apostles that are here that want to come and release a word to you on today, the line is now open for you to share.
Grace and peace, Apostle Lucius, Apostle Sash. I thank God for this word. It's really timely, especially with the time that we're in. I thank God for it being biblically sound and so full of wisdom and practical nuggets, and also helping us keep our focus as to where God needs us to be, you know, help us stay sober and not so full of, you know, everything that is going on or focusing in so many different directions. So I'm thankful for that. I took notes, like, this is really good when you began to talk about testing things. And I literally started saying testing makes us slow down. And then immediately after that, you started talking about how when we test something, we have to slow down. I just felt like that was just so good. So I'm grateful to God just to be here in this moment and have a word timely for such a time as this. Not just a word, but to have practical things that can actually help me navigate throughout this season as we prepare ourselves as the body of Christ as to prophecy being fulfilled from the word of God. So thank you for your ear being to the heart of God and releasing this to us today.
To God be all the glory. You know, a lot of times you don't hear people talk in this vein much. You don't hear people you have so many people out here saying so many different things. And a lot of the things that some people are saying, not everybody, is exaggerated. It's inflated, right? And in the book of Proverbs, it tells us, it says, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. When we exaggerate or inflate information, that's lying. That's lying. It's careless, right? And so people are, because they're trying to push an agenda, they'll exaggerate it. They'll inflate it, you know. Again, I'm not saying all information, but I am saying sometimes information or sometimes there's agendas that are driven by fear. We have to stop ourselves and we have to test, even if it's someone that we know. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with you doing your own research about what's being said, because sometimes people only have, maybe it's true, but maybe they only have a piece of the information. But we want to complete the storyline. We want to make sure that we have all of the information so we can make a well-tested, conclusion. We want to bring it because we have full information. Amen. So thank you so much for coming and for sharing on today. We give God all glory, praise, and honor. Would there be another that would like to come forth at this time?
Grace and peace. This is Christina in North Carolina. I was writing today's date, and I saw that it was the 4th, and I almost cried because I knew that meant tomorrow was the 5th. So I just didn't want to let this opportunity go by without saying thank you, just for the obedience of this initiative and the power, the consistency and the clarity that we've gotten every day, multiple times a day. My testimony is that I started a project. I was launching a consulting business, and I had to go back and check, and I started it in 2024, and I kind of put it down and thought about it and, you know, took notes and did the things, but I didn't really touch it. And so from listening here and talking about, like, being distractions being removed and clarity and consistency. I've done more in the 2 months of January than I have done in the 2 years since 2024. I've got a proposal that I'm drafting today for a client to work with their school. Courses are things that I'm working through to try to finish up, but it has been just such a important piece. This 60 for 60 has been such an important piece of me being faithful to what I know I can and I can do and accomplish in this role.
You absolutely can. I literally, when you started speaking, that's the first thing I heard was consultant in spirit. Amen. And you're not just a consultant in the field that you're in. You are consulted within the kingdom of God. And I want you to really be confident in the wiring that you possess and the investment that God has made in your life. You bring such a supply to every single sphere that you've ever been in. You've been like a source of supply to those spaces. And I want you to walk confidently in that and know that what God, the vision that God gave you, you didn't give yourself that vision. God literally has given you vision and answers and solutions for the spaces that you're very apostolic. Even though I don't know you, I've never seen you, but I'm telling you by the Spirit what I can see. You're very apostolic in nature. So God's going to have you moving. He's going to have you. You'll be working with startups. You'll be working with different, but I don't want you to get frazzled because you may have to move many times. It's a part of the assignment that God has given in your life. You will help people in the very beginning stages of the work that they're doing, but you may not stay. You're there for a very specific, very niche assignment, and then you'll move on to the next. And so we give God glory for you. Amen. Yes, tomorrow technically is day 60, but we'll be here till Friday, and we thank you that you have joined us. We thank God for all that he's doing in your life now and what he will continue to do with you. Thank you, Christina, for sharing. Will there be another? The line is open for you today. If you have a testimony, if you have a word from the Lord, please don't hold it unless the Lord told you to hold it. Now, if he told you to hold it, don't you release it. But if you are here today and you would like to share, about anything, whether it be a testimony or if you were blessed by the word, whatever it is, you can come forth at this time. Amen. Well, we thank God that you are here with us today, and we want to encourage you. We want to definitely encourage you to don't forget to get your 20 minutes in this afternoon or this evening before you lay your head down on the bed. We want you to make sure that you get your minimum of 1 hour in with God. Some of you were here with us on this morning with AP Darius Walton. What a powerful word he spoke in regards to generations and nations on this morning. We want to encourage you that you can go to our website, which is www.sentmiami.com, and we have the prayer calls archived there for you, waiting there for you so that you can go back and you can tap into whatever, whatever you wanted to listen to, whatever you wanted to go back to, whatever you wanted to study. Amen. You can go back and you can go to our website and you can do just that. Okay, so we encourage you to do that. Also, by way of announcement, typically we have Disciple Nights every other Thursday, and this Thursday is our typical Disciple Nights night. The first and the third Thursday of each month is when we meet. This week we are not going to meet on this Thursday because we are preparing ourselves for the celebration of Prophet DeMarcus Williams. And we want you, if you're able to be a part of that celebration, which is happening on Friday, March 6th at 7:30 p.m. at the Restoring Grace Community Church, which is located at 1122 Northwest 9th Avenue in Fort Lauderdale. Amen. This is not only a birthday celebration because DeMarcus turned 40 years old on Monday, but it's also a send-off celebration. He's the first fruit of our sending. He will be transitioning in the summer to Houston. That's his next assignment. And so we want the community to come out and celebrate not only him entering into a new decade, but also his transition into another city and state. So we hope that you will join us. These are all of the announcements that I have for today. And we pray that you have a beautiful rest of your Wednesday, and we bid you more grace. God bless you.